Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Dismantling Injustice, the podcast of Envision Freedom Fund. Listeners, I know that it feels as though we're constantly beating this drum around bail reform, but that's because it keeps coming up. Every year, bail reform is threatened by the governor, by New York City's mayor, by the state legislature. And this month, as the New York State Legislature debates its budget, bail reform is on the chopping block once again. So this week, we're joined again by Envision Freedom's in-house expert on bail reform, Zoe Addle, who will talk to us about the governor's proposal around bail reform, the consequences of this proposal, and what you can do to help push back. So when we come back, we'll be joined by Zoe. Zoe, so you've been on the podcast many times talking to us about bail reform. You're sort of our in-house bail reform expert. And I was hoping you could give us a refresher about the history of the fight for bail reform in New York and why it's so critical.
It's unfortunate to have been back so many times talking about the same thing, fending off rollbacks to bail reform. I think especially because we know how much of a positive impact it's had on so many people. But to rewind a little bit, just to start from years ago, before bail reform was even passed, there were over 13,000 people incarcerated pretrial across New York. And advocates fought so hard to pass bail reform in 2019 because we knew the harms of bail and jail and how they criminalize race and poverty. They violate the presumption of innocence by jailing people pretrial. Pretrial jailing also coerces guilty pleas. People who are incarcerated pretrial are actually 46% more likely to take a plea pretrial just so they can go home versus people who are out and free to defend themselves. And, you know, through our work as a bail fund, we have also seen how bail is not only unjust, but it's also unnecessary. We've paid bail for thousands of people, and 95% of them return to court without putting any money down. So, you know, with all of these harms of bail, there's also all the harms associated with the inability to afford bail that leads to pretrial jailing, which we know cuts people off from their family, their housing, their jobs, worsens any mental health or substance use issues they might have. And we also have seen last year, particularly, how deadly pretrial jailing is for people. Last year was the deadliest year at Rikers in decades. There have also been deaths reported at jails in Erie County, Broome County, Nassau County, across the state. So with all of this, you know, advocates and directly impacted people and legislators passed bail reform in April 2019 in recognition of all of the harms that bail and pretrial detention cause to try and lessen that harm. And bail reform went into effect January 2020. And, you know, it did a lot, but I guess the simplest explanation of what bail reform did is that it eliminated the use of bail and pretrial detention for people charged with most misdemeanor and nonviolent felony offenses. And it also, it did leave the option for judges to still set bail on people charged with most violent felonies and also some exceptions, which, you know, so in 2019, we didn't fully eliminate money bail. But since then, over 24,000 people have been able to return home, fight their cases from positions of freedom. It saved almost 2 million nights in jail across the state, meaning that more people can spend time with their families, continue going to work instead of being locked in inhumane jail cells. And we also saw that court appearance rates remain stable across the state. So, you know, the primary purpose of bail statutorily is meant to ensure people return to court. As I mentioned before, we've seen it's not necessary to do that, but that is what is in the statute, that bail is the purpose of bail. So we've seen court appearance rates remain stable and actually improve in New York City. And then also when you look at the metrics that law enforcement has defined as what measures safety, bail reform also had no impact on arrest rates. We saw that rearrest rates for cases affected by bail reform remained basically the same before and after the implementation of bail reform. Yeah, and I think this is a very important story to tell,
largely because bail reform is once again in the news because it's facing a very imminent threat in the state legislature vis-a-vis Governor Hochul's budget. And I was hoping you could share with us what the governor is proposing around bail reform this time. Can you just break it down for us in plain language?
Yeah, so I think in short, the governor, what she's proposing is really, really harmful. I think it's important to just say that up front, that she's kind of making it seem like she's just making tweaks or proposing tweaks. But really what she's doing would set New York back decades. And specifically, she's proposing to eliminate a standard in the law that requires judges to set what's called the least restrictive condition to ensure people return to court for bail eligible charges. And really what that means is she's trying to remove a standard that would also remove accountability for judges, because this least restrictive standard, which does just that, it requires judges to set the least restrictive condition. So whether that's bail, supervised release, just releasing people on their own recognizance, whatever judges deem as the least restrictive to ensure people come back to court. So by removing this standard, it would basically remove a standard that was put in place to guard against judges imposing excessive punishment before trial. And this standard has been in place for over 50 years. So this change that the governor is trying to push through would not just set us back to 2019 before bail reform was passed, but it would set us back decades. And this change also would reduce transparency for judges, because now they have no standard to guide or govern their decisions. And we've also seen with each rollback that has happened since 2019, when bail reform was originally passed, each rollback gave judges more discretion. And what we've seen is this has only led to higher bail, increased pretrial jailing, and racial disparities. So the governor's proposed change would increase all of that again. And by removing a standard, it really just opens up for a lot more bias in judges' decision-making. The governor originally claimed that she was doing this because judges are confused, but from what we've seen firsthand, it's clear judges are not confused. And then also the acting chief administrative judge also testified that judges are not confused by the current law. And then on top of that, removing this, the only standard judges really have in making their decisions, will actually just lead to more confusion. So it's also, just, I think, one, just nonsensical, the reasons that the governor is giving for proposing these changes. It's pretty clear that her goal is to incarcerate more Black and brown people. And I think also something she's not saying is this is not just a small change. Like, she really is trying to fundamentally change decades of
what happens the law now, because it's, you know, I know that the budget was due last Friday. That's clearly been extended. The state legislature has yet to vote on a budget. What's going to happen next? And What can our listeners do to help protect bail reform and push back on the governor's proposal?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, we're already past the budget deadline. Legislators passed an extender that goes to April 10th. They could pass another one. And it seems like bail is one of the major sticking points that they keep going back and forth on. But I will say the fact that the governor and the assembly speaker and the Senate majority leader, who are the ones who are in the room really making these decisions that then the rest of the legislature will vote on, they still haven't made a deal. And I think that means a lot for like what that says about the power in the advocacy and what we've been able to do so far. So I think that's also just encouraging to know that there's still more time to prevent the governor's plan from going through. And that's really where everyone comes in. That's how people can protect bail reform, is calling your legislators. We need legislators to hear from as many people as possible. Share with your friends and family. We have a link to a phone to action tool that has like a sample script, and you can put in your information. It'll give you the contact information for your legislators. You can tweet at them. It's really important that they hear from as many people as possible now, to keep holding the line and not making any changes to the bail law. The link to that tool is going to be in the episode show notes. So you can click that. And again, can't stress enough how important it is that our legislators are hearing from us, because this really affects all of us. And I think just something else to say personally is that just knowing how I think law enforcement and other opponents of bail reform have kind of made us out to look like people who don't care about safety. And that is really upsetting and untrue. And it actually makes me really upset and concerned for my safety when I hear politicians like the governor, like the mayor, try to push through these policies that I know will only make us less safe by destabilizing people, by incarcerating people. Like, that does not work to achieve safety. It only harms people who are behind bars. It doesn't make our communities more safe. And I think what they also need to hear is not only should they not make any changes to the bail law, because that's part of achieving and improving safety, but they should really be using this budget to invest in things that we know do achieve safety, like housing, mental health care, drug treatment, education, and programs outside of law enforcement to address violence.
You know,
and
Zoe,
prevent
it's
violence
unfortunate that every single time you're on the podcast, we're talking about bail reform and we're talking about more rollbacks. But what I appreciate is that you leave us with a sense of hope and a sense of something that we can do that's very concrete to take action right now while it's important. While the legislature and the governor are deliberating on the budget, we can call and we can express to our legislators that they need to protect bail reform and that that's what our communities want. And that further incarceration and criminalization isn't the answer. You know, we definitely appreciate you have become our in-house bail reform guru, not just for us, but for the entire movement. You're probably one of the few people in the state that thinks about bail reform year-round, even when we're not in a legislative session. And so we definitely appreciate you for that. We will definitely follow up with you, Zoe, after the budget is passed to learn what ends up happening. I'm sure all of us are on the edge of our seats, hoping for the best. Thank you for joining us, Zoe. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Dismantling Injustice. Until we're all free, peace out.
Thanks again for joining us. Dismantling Injustice is brought to you by Envision Freedom Fund,
an organization that works to transform the immigration and criminal legal systems while meeting the critical needs of individuals impacted by these systems daily. To learn more about our work and donate, visit us at envisionfreedom.org. That's envisionfreedom.org. Dismantling Injustice was created by Sally Israel. Our executive producer is Abigail Wolf. This podcast is produced and engineered by Yasi Solutions and hosted by Carl Hammett Lipscomb. That's me. Special thanks to the team at Envision Freedom for being amazing. Until we're all free, peace out.